Psalm 62, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Now, this, of course, continues the prayers of Christ. And David was the one who was given grace to write them. But those things that David wrote, though he experienced them himself, the greater understanding that we have of the Psalms is that these are those things which Christ himself, as he walked among men as a man, taking upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, did undertake. And there is no temptation or trouble or place of anxiety or sorrow that has ever come upon men that has not come upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked among men. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Now what a glorious thing it is when we read in the scripture of the man who shall be able to enter into the presence of God, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Now some people look at themselves and they say, well, that's me. They're not going to enter in, because there's only one man who, of whom it can be said, and of whom the scripture plainly speaks, who has clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is that one today to whom we look, even as he prayed as a man. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. Now him being God and walking among men, humbling himself, his dependence was upon the Father. And these things cannot adequately be entered into an understanding of by men. Every time I read a book or someone's thoughts on trying to explain the nuances of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I walk away more puzzled when I'm finished reading it than I do to start, because these things are not meant to be completely understood. I can't comprehend it. It's too high for me. You know, how that Jesus Christ, being God, a very God, who could say to Philip, when Philip said, show us the Father, he could say, Philip, if I've been so long time with you, and thou hast not known me, He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now, that's beyond the comprehension of men how that can be. It's beyond the comprehension of men how that this one who made the earth with his hands spoke all things into being according to the good pleasure of his will could say, truly my soul waiteth upon God. But yet as a perfect man he did. And that from the Lord cometh his salvation. From his deliverance. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. When Satan came and tempted him, what did he do? He quoted to him the word of God. He said, he is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he's speaking to Satan, who he put in that place to tempt him. Now, some people think Satan just kind of come along. They kind of don't know where he came from. Well, we know where he came from. He came from the hand of God. God made him according to the good pleasure of his will to perform his purpose. He's a wicked creature. And the scripture says that he shall be destroyed. And so indeed, he speaks to this one whom he created. And he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And he was not. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? And now, he speaks here as he often spoke to the Pharisees when he called them vipers. He said, you're of your father, the devil. He spoke to them plainly. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? You see, from the very beginning, they said, we've got to do something about this one here because he's not like us. They knew he wasn't like them. They said, we've got to do something about this. We've got to get rid of him. Because if we let him keep going on, he's going to mess up the whole thing for us. Because they hated the way of God in their heart, though they loved it to be seen of men. And such is the way of the religious man. Such is the way of our religious flesh. We love to be seen of men. We like for men to pat us on the back, say, you're doing a good job. That was nice, you know. Every preacher that ever preached likes to have people come up and pat them on the back and say, you did a good job. But the older I get, the more I hate the thought of people coming up to me and saying such a thing because I know there ain't a lick of truth in it. You know, that just give glory to God. I mean, if God blesses you, it isn't because of somebody. It's because the Lord blessed you. And only he's worthy of the praise. But he says, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? What man? The Lord Jesus Christ. How long will you imagine this mischief against me? What was their mischief? They were deceitful. And they were going about in many different ways of deceit to entrap him. They thought they could. He said, ye shall be slain, all of you. That's pretty plain. Ye shall be slain. As a bowing wall shall ye be. Now, Ed knows a little bit about a bowing wall. Sometimes, you know, when you, and I'm not going to get into his business or accuse him of anything, but sometimes when you're laying bricks or something, if the bricks are too wet or whatever, you're going to have a bowing wall. And what happens is it won't stand up there very long. It'll fall down. So you might as well go ahead and take it down. He says to these men who sought mischief against him, you're as a bowing wall. He says, you're not going to stand. You're not going to finish the building. It's going to fall down as a tottering fence. You know, as a kid growing up, we used to have our fences and cows and hogs, and I used to wonder why on earth can't we have a fence that'll keep the hogs in. Because we had a bunch of tottering fences. They had old lighter posts, and they last a long time, but after a while, right down at the ground, they'd rot off, and it would become a tottering fence, and an old bullhog or something, he'd come up there and he'd root up against it, and down it would go, and then the hogs was out. And he said, that's how people are. He says, those that would come against the Lord, against the way of God, against the people of God. He said, they're as a tottering fence. Now, there's only one thing you can do with a tottering fence. And that's it. You just got to redo it. I mean, you can't fix it. You know, you got to just get back up. You can stick something up there and try to fix it, but after a while, it'll be back in the same shape, a tottering fence. But that is the way of those who would come against the Lord. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency, because that is what they hated the glory that was in Jesus Christ, because they hated the glory of God. See, men love to go about their religious ways, but they don't like for God just to get all the glory. They want to have some of it. You know, they want to look at something they've done and say, you know, oh, well, we did this. We sent these missionaries over here, or we built this building to the glory of God. I mean, we want something that men can see. Well, we had this and we had that and we did this and we did that. And you can, if you don't believe it, you just look. You can see what we've done. But you see, all of those things, while they may be good things, well, I don't ever want you to think that I think that all these things are necessarily evil. They're not evil. The things that men do in the name of God are not evil per se, unless they do it with some thought to any glory being given to any but him who brought it to pass. You know, the excellency. You consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, did they not? I mean, they paid witnesses to come and testify of things that the Lord Jesus, they said that he did. They said that he said things that he never did, things that he never said. But they bore false witness against him. They took delight in lies. They bless with their mouth. They curse inwardly. They said one thing on the outside, because you see, they feared the people. They didn't want to just come right out at the beginning and curse this man, because just like they didn't want to when the Lord asked them about the baptism of John. They said, well, we can't tell where the baptism of John comes from, because they feared the people. They knew that if they said, well, it comes from God, then the Lord said, well, why didn't you believe him? They knew that that would be the thing. And yet they wouldn't come out and condemn him, because they knew that the people liked John and liked the things he was saying, or believed he was a prophet sent from God. But they curse inwardly. Inside, they didn't care anymore about any of these things. Their mind and soul was taken up. And such is often the way of the religious flesh of man, is that it makes an outward show, but inside it doesn't have any desire after these things. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. All that we expect to receive from the Lord. If we have expectations of anything else, then we've misplaced our expectations. If we expect the Lord to commend us for something we've done, then we're sadly mistaken. Now, the Scripture does say, the Lord will say to his people, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But you know what the children of God will say? Well, Lord, when did we do anything worth doing? But religious men, they'll say, well, Lord, when didn't we do these things? I mean, we did all these things. He is our expectation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. That word refuge is used quite a few times here. And a refuge is just a place of hiding. It is a place, a covert from the wind. It's a place where you can get when the storm comes. And it is a place of covering. Surely men of low degree are vanity. Now everybody would agree with that, wouldn't they? I'm old, sorry, no counts. I mean, you know, you see an old bum that's beside the road and he's got a sign up, we'll work for food, and you know he won't work for food. But he's out there and you think in your mind, well, sorry, no count. And you say, surely men of such low degree, they're just empty. There's nothing to them. Everybody agrees with that. But then he says, in contrast, that and men of high degree are a lie. Because the men that think they're any different than the bum that stands by the side of the road, they're just fooling themselves. Men of high degree, oh, well, I'd never be like that. Well, you wouldn't be unless the Lord brought you that way to that place. But for the grace of God, there go I. I mean, who maketh thee to differ from another? The Lord alone. Men of high degree are a lie to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. All of them. He said, put them all in a big pot. Stir them up. And they're all the same thing. You can put them on this side of the balance or you can put them on that side of the balance and they're always going to be lighter than air. There's nothing to them. They have no basis. Men have nothing in themselves which they can hold out before the God. They're altogether lighter than vanity. Now, you remember Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I've often heard men say, oh, well, you know, that was a very negative view. Solomon thought negatively. You shouldn't think negatively. Think positively. We hear that all the time. I get sick of it sometimes. And I believe in thinking positively. I think you should think positively. But I don't need people telling me that that's the key to my my problems, is to think positively. Because that's not the key to your problems. Most men think far too more positively than they should. Oh, that the Lord would give men negative thoughts, cause them to see what they are by nature. And then they would say, oh, woe is me. And you know, when the old publican was down there on his knees in the temple, he didn't need a smiling preacher to come pat him on the back and say, son, what you need is just to think more highly of yourself. No, he needed somebody to tell him about the Lord. He needed the mercy of God. See, he didn't need all of the things that men could bring to him. He needed the only thing that the Lord could bring to him. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. I thought a little about this. And trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. Now, the concept of merchandise, of that's not a good word, the concept of, what am I thinking of? What's the term? I can't think of the term I'm thinking of. But anyway, the business world, the way things go, is buy low and sell high. I mean, that's the whole crux of the matter. I mean, and anybody that's in business that doesn't buy low and sell high will not be in business very long. But there is a just weights and balance, and there's an unjust. And that's what he's talking about here. And he says, trust not in oppression. Don't let your mind and your concept, he's not speaking specifically about business, but we're using this as an illustration. But in business, don't be thinking about how you're going to get the better of somebody and you're going to get the deal at their expense. Trust not in oppression. How cheap can I get this guy to work for me? You know, I know he needs, you know, to feed his family and all that, but I want him to work for me just cheap as he can. Trust not in oppression. You know, don't let that be the thought process that goes through your mind. If you have servants, then treat them not as servants, but as your fellow man. Now, what Paul said, you know, and if you're a servant, don't be trying to take advantage of your boss. You know, give him a full measure of that which he's paying you to do. Don't be thinking of how I can cut corners and still get my paycheck at the end of the week. You know, it's amazing. You can find, there's a bunch of people looking for a paycheck. But there's not a lot of people looking to do something, really to earn that. Now, everybody thinks they're worth more than they are, don't you? I mean, well, you get to a point in life where you wonder, well, my goodness alive, I don't want nobody to pay me what I'm worth. Because you realize if they really paid what you're worth, you'd starve to death. But everybody has an inflated view by nature of what their time is worth. And sometimes people justify taking advantage of their employer because they feel like, well, he ain't paying me enough to start with, so if I take a little something here or there, it's just kind of evening the thing up. But that's not, that's of oppression. That become not vain in robbery. You know, I know that nobody in here will go out and rob a bank tomorrow. I don't think any of you's going to go hold up a liquor store or the convenience store or anything like that. But robbery is a mindset that centers on oneself. And it's not averse to taking advantage for its own self. Trust not. Don't become vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. That's not the things. See, our riches are set not in this world, but in that world which is to come. And we lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven where moth doth not corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. But you know, the whole point of that, he's not really giving a business lesson there. He's just pointing out what men are by nature and how we are, because every man, just bent in the nature of men, is looking out for himself. You know, there's been books written on people, how people need to love their self. I never met a man that didn't love his self. I mean, even people that don't love their self as people would define that, they love their self because they'll think about their own needs above the needs of others. See, self-denial is not about what you don't do, it's what you, it is, self-denial has to do with this, with the denying of that desire that's in the heart, not eating an extra piece of cake or something like that. It's selfishness. Kindness. See, kindness involves self-denial because kindness is not natural to men. It is the gift of the Holy Ghost. I mean, brethren, if it were not for the Spirit of God, even at work in the carnal world, this would be an unlivable place, because if people were left to be just like they are without any restraint whatsoever, we'd consume one another pretty quick. and only the strong would survive. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. See, God has spoken once. The Lord only needed to say this, but this is so important that I heard it twice. Basically what he said, I've thought on this. Power belongeth unto God. Now, if a man is brought to that place, he doesn't have but one avenue that he will pursue, and that is to fall on his face before Almighty God. Power belongeth unto God. It is when men think they have power. I've got power to do this. I can do this. I can do that. I can seek the Lord when I get ready. You know, I'm not ready yet. Power belongeth unto the Lord. And also unto the Lord belongeth mercy. For thou renderest every man according to his work. Now, I had mentioned this the other day at Brother Curtis's funeral. That a lot of people, they think, well, man, that's great. God's going to reward us according to our work. How foolish is a man to think in such fashion? Because what if the Lord did reward you according to your work? But yet, the truth of the matter is that according to the work of the law of God in the earth, He will render to every man according to his work. But that's not a good thing. Because that's really the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. Is because justice demanded that every man be given exactly what he deserved. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in his mercy and kindness, as the Redeemer of sinners, did come into the world to give to his people a work that is perfect. Because he imputed his righteousness to us, even as he imputed our sin unto himself. And he stands as that one whose work is seen in the behalf of his people. And he said that he would put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on his left. And he would say to the sheep, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But upon what work? If the Lord renders to every man according to his work, what work do they have that would bring them, give them a right to enter into the kingdom of God? Only one. He said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me. He said, as I am one with thee, I'm one with them. Oh, how great is the mercy of God. To him belongeth power. To him belongeth mercy. There's not one thing that a man has within his hand that can force God, coerce God, or make God do anything. But the blessed truth is this, that mercy does belong to him. And he said this, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. What a glorious thing. Because, brethren, if he wouldn't show mercy, we'd all be in trouble. Amen. But he will show mercy. He does show mercy. He even said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, what a glorious salvation there is in Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. He's not out here trying to save sinners. He's not hoping to save sinners, but he saves sinners. And he manifests the salvation of sinners by calling. That was the promise. He said, the promise of God is unto you and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And the Gentiles, when they heard this, and as many as were ordained, they rejoiced, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. How do you know if a man's a child of God? Only one way. They believe. They trust Him. They fall on their faces and cry out for mercy. And He's the Savior. Turns none away. But He saves all that come unto God by Him. What a glorious Savior He is.